Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. And Father, this Word is so important for our life, especially what you laid on my heart. And Father, may your people have ears to hear. May it be a revelation to them. And Father, anoint my lips to speak what is truth. And Father, between both, much can be accomplished for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said last week, I wanted to take a couple of Sundays, maybe possibly one more. I'm not sure because I don't want to do long sermons because people have said in the past they lose the effect of it. And so last week we started a sermon called The Issue of the Heart. It is a very important subject. And so open up to Proverbs chapter 4 again. Proverbs 4, the issue of a man's heart. And like I said last week, many of us can deceive people, but we never can deceive God. God always knows where our heart is, and we can't get away from that. And the heart of man is extremely important to the Father. Matter of fact, there's no one that has ever entered into heaven that does not want to be there. Heaven is a place where people want to be. It is not a place where we go to escape fire. It's a place we want to be. And over in Proverbs chapter 4, we said, my son, verse 20, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. When it says depart from your eyes, what he's saying is that when a man's doing his best to keep something in his focus, then it cannot escape him. Are you following me? It means an intent looking at. And so that's the indication here. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. And this word for midst, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, I was a little surprised. It means to sever. Literally, what it's saying here is what the word does. It literally severs between two things. And we found out what they were over in Hebrews 4:12, the verse that Ted wanted to use and didn't know what it said. But the Word of God, what it does, it severs between two mouths. Actually, in Greek it says a two-mouthed sword. It means that a man within his heart, he has voices going on. And if we're not careful, the Word of God has to govern what goes off in our thinking, our heart. Can anybody say amen to that? And so it is important what we think on. Now, when I first got saved up until a few years ago, I never really thought much about how I was thinking until God brings it to your attention. It is important how you think. And it is important that it needs to be corrected. Because none of us really understand that the Word is very clear that the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. But a man of understanding will be able to do something with his heart. Amen. And so the heart is a very important issue because if your heart is not with God, you won't be with God. And so he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. And he says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And this word issues literally means geographical boundaries. And so if you want to know if your heart's right with God or not, are you living within the perimeters that the Word of God tells you to live within? Because that's what giving attention to the Word of God does. It keeps a person living within the perimeters or the guidelines of the Word of God. And that's what God wants you and I to do. Now, one thing that we've got to understand as New Testament believers, we're not like Old Testament believers, and I would like you to make a note of this because it took a while for it to sink into me. But when you understand the language in which the Bible was written in, a lot of times you keep seeing these words keep coming back to you over and over again. And finally, one day, it dawned on me how God works in our heart. The Old Testament, God had to work from without to within. But in the New Testament believer's life, God works from within to that which is without. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so when you get over into the Old Testament, these stories get real interesting about how the world played on the hearts of men. You and I, every time you open your eyes up and start the day fresh, every one of us is going to have the world around us. Amen? Simply because you woke up. But the thing is, how is the world going to play on your heart today? Is it going to be that the world is conforming, molding, and shaping you? Or is it the Word of God ordering your steps? See, because the New Testament life, the victory that we've been given is the right heart. Every one of us, when we're born again, the first thing God does, He gives us the right heart. He gives us all equal ground which to live off of. Amen? The problem is, if the Word of God does not become the most focal point of our life, our focus and our vision, what happens is the world then can come back and begin to play on your heart again. Are you following me? And mold and shape you according to the world. Offendable people have the mind of the devil at work within them, and they don't realize it, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. It ain't where God goes up into heaven and accuses the brethren, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father representing us. So why would he go there like he did in the Old Testament? No, he can't do that. But he can work in the hearts and minds of believers to be deceivious and devious and not right with one another, and say things and do things, and it's all predicated on accusing a brother of their mistakes. And I'm learning more and more not to allow that mind in my thinking. It's hard, it's difficult, because you see people's mistakes. We're not void of that. But I've been bringing out on Wednesday night, which I ended the service, but I said most of us have been raised in reactionary living. Our whole life is reactionary. One beautiful thing about it is that from the earliest dawn when we lived reactionary, we never had the Word of God in the earlier part of our life to react properly. You know what I mean? So reactionary living in before we got born again did something to our heart. But when you get born again, you start all over again. You have a new life, a new concept, and then you allow the Word of God to be your reaction, not what the world did to you, but what you can now do back to the world under the guidance of the Word of God. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Now, we brought out, why is the heart so important? We brought out because it deals with a man's feelings, his will, his intellect, his care, his consent, his consideration for, his willingness for, and his regard for. So when we look at the heart of an issue, it is a seat of a man's desires, his feelings, his affections, his passions, his impulses. These are all important to God. Regardless of whether man can receive you or not, does God receive you? That is so important. Now, we learned right away, the first thing that the Bible says, the first and great commandment, is that we are to love the Lord with our whole heart. That means we are to be connected with Him, and if we have the right heart with God, we always maintain that level of first love, and we build off of that. You know, I was just thinking of my relationship with my wife, and I was thinking the other day, how would I react if I ever lost my wife? I have learned that there was a time when I was bubble, bubble, fizz, fizz. I was more feeling with my wife. But now there's a connection of our life. And I got to thinking I would be lost without the better half of my life. And God has truly blessed me with a woman to be a helpmate to my soul. I love you so much, honey. And I can't do without her. And I said, well, God, she ain't leaving before me. I'll keep her alive, my faith. She ain't going nowhere. She's probably saying the same thing to me, so we might hang around a long time, baby. None of us will let each other go. But you know what? You know, I brought out a man can backslide in his own heart and not face it. He always knows it, but he doesn't know how to face it. David was such man. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to learn something. I hope this gets into you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I always look back at David. David had a pornography problem. And chapter 8, go to verse 3. But if anyone loves God, comma, this one is known by him. This is a very interesting verse. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Known by him. Now, if you will, hold your place there, and let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, let's go to verse 9. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Now I want to read this to you out of the Greek. But now, knowing God. I'm reading it to you out of the Greek because it's more direct. Knowing God. That means literally knowing God. But rather being known by God. Now, when I saw this known thing here, and I went into the Greek, I noticed it was a different word than the one you find over in Ephesians 1:9. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's go to verse Ephesians 1:9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now look at this word known, made known to us. This is a different word than the one we read over in Galatians chapter 4. And I couldn't figure out why the two were so different. And so I looked up the meanings of both of them. And one means literally, he has allowed the Lord. He has allowed the Lord to be aware of his person. It literally means one who has allowed God to speak to his heart. What the other one means, God brings revelation. He brings insight. He makes known understanding. Are you following me? But the one other word literally means, he allowed God to speak to his person, who he is, who he was, and what he's all about. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's not a good place to be. But it takes a man of integrity to face himself. Because he's the hardest, freakiest guy all of us don't like to face. Because we could be wrong. Oh, wouldn't that be a thought? Notice, this word allowed to be aware of or to make known a person. That's a whole lot different than revelation coming to you. It literally means something very powerful. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. But now knowing God, but rather being known by God. See, this is a guy who has literally allowed God to reveal his person before God. You know, every day you walk with God, your conscience will work between you and God. It will work. Now, David, he's a very interesting guy. Real interesting guy. But listen, again, God works from the inside out, not from the outside in. Listen, whenever you're motivated by something outside to affect you inwardly, wrong direction. But where the world reacts to you outside, and you react to it through the Word of God, right direction. That's why as a pastor, whenever there's conflict between the party of two, I always find out who's violating truth, and I tell the other one to go and make it right. Because you have to learn how to react according to the Word of God, not react according to the world, because that's offendable people. And God doesn't want us to be involved with offenses. Doesn't mean we'll be offense-free, but he doesn't want us to be the culprit for it. See, my previous life was totally always the world playing on my heart. You know, people come into the kingdom of God and they're literally almost destroyed by the time they come into the kingdom of God. And so they have to cop up all these doctrines to rationalize why they react the way they do since God came into their heart and life. And you're not to do that. You know what you're to do? You're to believe and see yourself as one who just came out of the womb of God. And now have a new life. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You cannot try to go back and hash over your old life because your old life has been built and react according to how the world played on your heart. And you might end up a freak treat. And now God wants you to start all over so He can make that mess right. You know, people, they come down on sinners. The church will be real hard on sinners. They don't realize sinners are the way they are because the world played on their heart a certain way. You see, they're reacting according to how the Word played on their heart. Thank God I was delivered that. Now I can react according to what the Word tells me to react to. Praise God, there's my freedom. Now, the Bible is very clear that the world will no longer mold him to conformity, a man of God. When your mind is being renewed, you will not be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll react totally different with the mind of God, not the mind of the accuser any longer. I know sister, brother and brother, they hate me, but how do I react to that? According to the Word of God. And you'll find yourself free. That's them geographical boundaries. You know, people who are easily offended, they're the ones who entertain the mistakes of others. And what they do is they go beyond the perimeters there because people have gone beyond their borders. I've learned somebody can step beyond my border right into my... I'm learning it now. Haven't completely arrived yet, but I'm working on it. I've learned that when they enter my domain, just not let it bother me. Just react according to the Word of God. Because invariably all of us make a mistake and walk into somebody else's arena and not realize we're into trouble. I'll never forget, I forgot, what's his name? William Branham. He was a ranger. And from what I heard, I might, if I get the story wrong, let me know, but he had to cross this pasture. And so he climbed this fence and got right in the middle of the pasture and realized it belonged to a bull. So the bull was coming at him. And he stopped and he got real calm and he said, "Now, Mr. Bull, I am so sorry I trespassed on your property. Would you forgive me?" And that bull came charging. He didn't move. He said, "I was wrong. I should have never done that." And that bull came right up to him, stopped and sniffed him and walked off. Yeah. Can you imagine what had happened? The fear took a hold of his heart. Eek! See, he knew he was right in the center of that guy's pasture, and he knew there was no escape but Crunch City. So he stayed calm and he apologized. And by gosh, God took a hold of them animal, that animal, and did something with it. We have control over the animal kingdom whether you realize it or not. It's just when the animal kingdom charges, you don't know how you're going to react to it, right? I know how I'd react to it. Run! Just imagine a big grizzly after you. All you got to do is just fall down and play dead. Yeah, right. Boy, that would take a whole lot in me. First of all, I probably wouldn't be in a position without a gun. Of course, that still doesn't help me, does it, Bob? Did you see what he did? But the fellowship's there anyway, how about? So David was a man after God's own heart. You know, I read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. Do you know what I discovered about a man who doesn't get a hold of his heart? He can get really out there weird and not even know it. David was one of them guys. Now, I read this story, and I read it, and I finally read it, and I said, oh, my gosh, when a guy doesn't get his heart right with God, guess what? It gets worse. You know, one sin doesn't die within itself. It keeps adding to. So I read this story. David, when kings are to go out to be in the heat of the battle, David decides, I'm going to kick back. So he gets up on his rooftop and he looks down and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. And right away, his heart says, I got to have that woman. Hubba bubba. So he called for her. And I didn't realize this, but she's married. And her husband's name, Uriah. You know what Uriah was? One of his faithful, David's faithful followers. Yeah. And so Bathsheba comes to his house and he gets it on. He didn't know what purity meant. And it says she left unclean. She had a sexual relationship with David. And you know what? She gets back to him and said, David, I found I'm pregnant. David goes, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll call Uriah and I'll tell him to go home and be with his wife. So he called Uriah and said, Uriah, you go home and be with your wife. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted Uriah to go back, have a relationship with his own wife so they couldn't tell whose kid it was. So it starts out not only a lie, adultery, but now it's going to lead to murder. Yep. The shedding of innocent blood. So he finds out Uriah didn't go home to be with his wife. Uriah was there at the king's house with his servants. And I don't know whether they were drinking or something, or I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, Uriah didn't go home. He found out that, and he goes, oh, I got to get him hooked up with her, you know. So he feels that he can't do that now, so what he'll do is take the next step. And he says, send Uriah and all of you down there in the heat of the battle where it's the greatest and abandon him. And, of course, Uriah died. And so what had happened was, he had done evil in the sight of the Lord, according to Scripture. And how many of you would really believe that David had a heart problem here? Because somehow, Bathsheba was more interesting than God. So, 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, it says, then the Lord sent Nathanael to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of its own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom that was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. Boy, he put the Lord on the spot, didn't he? And the Lord said, okay, I'll follow through with that statement. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he'd done this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much, much more. You know, I'm going to tell you something, people. When your heart's right with God, there's no end to what God will do for your life. But you know, the heart that is against God, people don't realize that God follows a man's heart. I don't care how you look at it. He does follow your heart. You can hide it from men, or man can see it. But in the long run, how you react to that heart will disclose what you're really made of. Yes. Saying that, turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is an important issue. Because, see, what people don't understand about the issue of a man's heart, like David. How did David get so far out? Because of the desire of his flesh was greater than the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 7, I want us to go to a verse that's very important for us to understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Now notice he said from without. From without, coming in. There is nothing that can enter a man from the outside which can defile him. Isn't that an interesting statement? It means that no matter what happens to a man on the outside, it is not what causes a man to be defiled. Right. Now watch this. I didn't understand it before, but now I understand what it means. It's talking about something coming from the outside into a man and how the man reacts to what came from the outside in. Right. Now watch this. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Notice, he emphasized the fact that the food doesn't touch his heart. Now, I have a problem with that because food touches my heart. Have you ever had that heart problem? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Then he lists all these different things, and down at verse 23 he says, and all these sayings come from within and defile a man. You know, a lot of people want to get rid of pornography problems. One way to do it is cut it off. Because pornography, if you allow it, it keeps feeding the soul. Are you following me? See, a lot of us, we don't know how to cut something off that's addictive. But one day you have to sit there and say, I got to cut it off. Where is it going? To more addiction. And to more addiction. And to more addiction. And it affects a man's heart. I notice that when men allow sin into their life, whether it's sins of the flesh or sins of the mind, if he keeps feeding them, they just get worse. Are you following me? And then when God's Word does come into play in your life, and it doesn't have an effect on you in your life, then that sin will follow you until you do something with it. How many of you follow what I'm saying? And so what Jesus was trying to say here, he's saying, in an analogy about food, he's saying if something comes from within a man, but it doesn't touch his heart, then what will come out of him is not a defilement. You know, it's a proven fact that many times talking with people and communicating with them and how their heart has been affected by how the world played on it, especially in the marital relationship. You know, a husband and wife, they come together in conflict. And pretty soon, if they're not careful, they're destroying each other's heart. Can anybody... And Jesus says, or Paul said, he said, if you really want to heal the marital relationship as two believers in God, He says, and let the Lord do something with their heart to reconcile it.
Right.
Well, sometimes you get so much history behind two people that it's almost impossible to reconcile it because the heart's been damaged.
Yeah.
Are you following me? And I've always found that when a heart's not right with God, there's two things that it will do. It will vindicate their position. Number one, that's a heart that's not right with God. It'll vindicate its position and it'll have truth in the vindication because it'll lean to it. And number two, it'll have excuses.
Right.
I found that when God's heart is developing in me, I complete the law in my heart. I can complete the law in my heart. What's that? The first four commandments, God is always in his rightful position with me. And the next six is my neighbor. I can keep honor with my neighbor. Now, I've run out of time, so we are going to go for this one more Sunday. Is that all right with you guys? Because I want to bring a real revelation to you. Of how important it is to have this inward anointing at work within our heart constantly. And Christians abuse the inward anointing more than anything else. I've sat and taught 1 John. I've taught it to my friends, and I've taught it to churches, and I've taught it to those that are close to me, and yet they open their mouths and they don't even understand what they heard. You can hear the word until you finally hear it. And when you finally get a hold of the word, then you will have the fruit that follows it. I have known this to be a fact. Jesus said it. By your fruit, you'll know a man. Not by what they say, not by what they think, but by the fruit that they bear. That's why he said over there in 1 Corinthians 8:3, a man who really truly loves God, it's because God was able to take and reveal to the man, that man, his person. What his heart is about. I don't know about you, but there isn't hardly a day goes by that God's now not correcting me in a thought or a thing that I said. And felt horrible about. But I'll tell you what. In closing, Matthew chapter 7 is a powerful chapter. Matter of fact, turn there real quick like. Turn there real quick like. I want you to get a hold of this before I close, because I'm going to build off of this when we get here next Sunday, because I have a powerful revelation I want to show you next Sunday about this issue of the heart. Notice this. Jesus said in verse 21 of Matthew 7, which is a follow-up from the Lord's Prayer, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Actually, in the Greek, it's will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of the Father of me in the heavenlies. Now, one thing about Matthew, he brought an issue up that you won't find in any of the other Gospels. The kingdom of the heavens. And they got to think, why does he always use the term the kingdom of the heaven? Why did Matthew choose that statement rather than what the others chose? Here's why. Matthew knew what his Lord meant when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom operates within the sphere of the kingdom of the devil. That's where my kingdom is. And that's where he's coming from here. When he said, the kingdoms of the heavens of me. In other words, Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, he said, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Now, I thought he was saying, I came from the third heaven, and that's my kingdom. No, he was saying he's establishing the kingdom within the kingdom of this world. And that's the kingdom we are to function out of. And even though we're in this fallen world, and though Satan is lord of this fallen world's kingdom, we don't function by his kingdom. We function by the kingdom of God within our hearts.
Amen.
Are you following me? And so he says right here, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he was not referring to the day when the Lord comes back. He was referring to the day that the kingdom of the heavens is established within the kingdom of this world. Glory to God.
Amen.
Yes. Now follow me real close. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And the word I never knew you is not oida, it's gnosko. He literally, because these two words are so important to understand, he did not say I never had a relationship with you. He said I never had an approving relationship with you. Because you were the accuser of the brethren, you saw some speck in somebody's eye and you had a log in your own.
Right.
Yes. Are you following me? And they were making an appeal off of their wonderful word. Isn't that really sweet? Right after he gets through telling, you ask, you seek, you knock, you find. And they weren't getting their prayers answered. So they made an appeal off their works. God said, I never had an approving relationship with you. You're just doing things on your own. But your heart was far from me. Your lips, mouth service, but the heart is far from me. I'm going to tell you something about the heart. In closing, this time I'm shut my Bible. This is an important subject. This is a very important subject. I've seen Christians who didn't know their own heart die before their time. Because they just couldn't get their heart right. Oh, their heart was right with God. No, it wasn't. If it's not right with God, it won't be right with your neighbor. If it's right with your neighbor, it's because your heart's right with God. That's what 1 John's all about. Oh, we're going to learn something in 1 John again. But listen to me very closely. Jesus said, I never had an approving relationship with you, so you're going to make an appeal to me off your works? If you read in light of this text here, he goes right in. You know what they were worried about? Their house was going down the river. The floods was beating vehemently on them. And guess what? Their foundation was made of sand. And when the floods came, it took out their foundation. Why? It wasn't founded on the rock. Your heart's very important to God. Trouble is, you do know your heart. You just don't want to face it. But if you don't want to face it, you will face the consequences of the enemy. Because when it says he's accused of brother and running around accusing it, John came to me and I taught at a department head meeting and he remembered it. And he said, this is what I think it is. And I said, you're right. Satan does not go into the heaven and say, do you know what somebody just did? Because he did that in Job. Why? He could do that. Why? He wasn't dethroned yet. Through the redemptive works of Christ, he got dethroned. And so then the Bible declares a position Satan's in. He's a defeated foe. He defunct. Well, then why am I so deceived by him? He uses your flesh to do it. Why? Because your flesh has not been put down until you put it down. It would have been nice for God to do the same thing coming up out of the inner center of hell itself, coming out of there and also kill us in our flesh. He couldn't do that. He had to leave us here, right?
Yep.
That's why you have to do. You have to take the position that Christ's body declared yours to be dead.
Yes.
Trouble is, we keep dragging him up out of the grave and listen to him. Oh, I could go tonight. I ain't going there. He never said I never had an approving I never had a relationship. He said I never had an approving relationship with you. So when he said I never knew you, man, I never had an approving relationship. Wouldn't it be nice to stand before the Lord and find out that your whole walk was never approved by him? How sad. I don't want to be in that position. I found out anymore if I do error to anyone and I find out about it, don't make an excuse. Get it right. Say you're sorry. Get it right.
get it right.
Why? So you can pass. Get behind you as quick as possible.
Don't allow air to accumulate.
That was a log they got. That log kept them out of an approving relationship with God. Don't let the world mold and shape you. You react to the world according to the Word of God, and you'll be a winner. You guys believe that? Stand up, everybody. Thank you for your patience. We'll go one more Sunday and then we'll get off this. Father, this morning as we bow our heads, we want to take this moment as a very important moment, Father. Very important moment. Now, we have altar ministers here that would like to pray with you. That means when I dismiss a service, I want you to come forward. And this morning, I want to make this real clear. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Because if your heart has not been given to the Lord, there is no way you can be protected by the onslaught of this world. It's cruel, it's hard, and it's relentless. Until you have the Word of God to establish your heart, there's no way you can counteract to it. You need Jesus into your heart and life. You might be here today and say, I'm a prostitute. I'm addicted to drugs. I don't know what to do. Today, Jesus is here to set you free. Amen. The addictions of the body will have to be resisted, but the Lord can set you free. He can birth the kingdom of God from within to work outward. And so if you're here and you've never given your heart to the Lord, we want to give you that opportunity. If you've given your heart to the Lord and you're just visiting and you've been out of church and you've been hurt by the church and you've been offended and this is not your normal place that you would attend, but you decide to attend today, it's because the Word of God was specially designed for you today, for you to react this week according to the Word of God. You need to come up and restore your walk, your fellowship with Him. Let Him put you back where you belong. And if you have been battling healing, physical healing for your body, quit fighting it and start taking your redemptive rights and declare that you have been paid for in that area of healing, and let us lay hands on you and impart healing to you by the Spirit of the living God. And with that said, Father, as I now dismiss these wonderful, beautiful people, and I've declared unto them the Word of God, for I must give an account before you what I have shared with your people. Father, may they take it to their heart and change their life in Jesus' name. And with that said, you're dismissed. Those of you that would like to respond to the altar, feel free to respond. We have altar workers here. God bless you all.